This is a story on Jean and Sherman Forsythe, a 2 mile in August, 1990. Jean and Sherman met in Dupero, Saskatchewan, D-U-P-E-R-O-W, where Sherman worked on the Forsythe farm and Jean taught at a school, 1956 to 1957. They were both born in the latter part of 1930s, but now in 1950, anyway, they were married shortly after. Jean taught 1 year at Dupero, Saskatchewan, and Sherman was on the farm. So anyway, they then moved to Perrault, P-E-R-O, 1958, where Mrs. Forsythe was living with the kids, and then on to Hazleton, 1958, to work with Stewart and Alvin Forsythe at the sawmill and cedar poles. Then in 1959, Sherman got a job with the Highway Survey. They moved from one place to another. They worked in Vanderhoof, Fort St. John, McBride, Quesnel, Terrace, Rupert, Prince George. They moved many, many places. He worked on the Bulkley Canyon and the road to Cedarvale. And this job he got in 1959, and he worked at it until April 1958. By this time they've had their first child was Debbie, who was born in 1959, and Bruce was born in 1960, Brent was born in 1961. Diana was born in 1963. Doug was born in 1965. Pat in 1967. And Loretta in 1969. On one of those trips, Jean was traveling with the children from Prince Rupert, because they were in, also yes, at Prince Rupert, and lost control on the car and sustained a very bad accident where Debbie and Diane were both killed. It was very sad. So anyway, in April 1965, the car had gone out of control and hit a school bus, and the kids, the two little girls, were asleep on the seat and they were killed, fatally hurt. And so shortly after that, they quit, and he finished the survey. And in April 1965, he bought the present home, and he started working with John with poles for 2 or 3 years. Then, and of course, Jean did a lot of subbing at 2 mile school. 2 mile school, elementary, all their children went to that school. Uncle Walker was principal there and knew all their children. In 1973, Sherman decided to go trucking with Bruce Parker for about a year and a half. And then in 1976, he had a back operation and had to lay off for a while. So, anyway, he continued, he got better. And 1977 to 1981, he drove a truck for Steve's. In 1982, he obtained his own truck and did his own trucking for 8 years. And it was a 5-day week, one day for maintenance and sometimes two. Very long hours. That was the part that was the hardest. Very long hours. He had some very good bosses. He worked for various people, on the Kispiaks and mostly on the Kispiaks and Bear River. Many stories about hazards, more hazards in the highway than in back roads, that motorists aren't aware of how motorists on the highway are a real hazard. One accident he nearly sustained was at Maitland Corner. Another one was where he's coming in a very, very slippery road and coming around the corner towards it was at Fulmer, just about Fulmer. And McMorris was riding a school bus. Anyhow, there was a car in the ditch and he had to just gear his bus, his truck the best he could, and there was a bus, a school bus was sort of in the middle of the road, and a lady was standing there, and he was just lucky he was able to stop, because he nearly ran her down, and he told her that, and she realized how dangerous it was. But anyway, of all his jobs, trucking was best. Bruce went to U of A, took engineering. Mary Ann, he's married to Mary Ann now, who spent a year in Germany, and now they have their own sawmill, working sawmill at 2 Mile. Doug is working at Security Riverview Hospital. He's had 4 years computer science. And now he's waiting for a call-up to be in RCMP. Patricia and Loretta are both in college. They both took secretarial schooling at college. And Patricia took it at Northwest College in Terrace, and Loretta in Business College in Coquitlam. And they're both, Patricia is a secretary at the hospital now, and Loretta is working for business in Coquitlam. Well, she went to college in Vancouver. They also lost another boy, Brent, many years ago, who went fishing on the Bulky River and fell into the river, and it was a very big tragedy. He was in grade 7 at the time, and it was a very sad thing. The other two little girls that they lost, Debbie was 5, and Diana was 2 years old. So that was, out of a family of 7, they have 4 very beautiful children left. They believed in education, and of course, they all got it. And Bruce is doing very well, so is Doug and Patricia and Loretta. Jean, of course, is accomplished in, besides gardening and flowers, she is very good at sewing. She did all kinds of handcrafts, stuffed animals, crocheting, embroidery. She participated in selling a lot of her, well, of course, her pottery. She did a lot of pottery, and this is something that she's going to continue doing further. Now, in their 50s, this is a good time to move. They're both bothered with arthritis, and they had to find a warmer climate. And so they found a place in Oliver, and in a real hot belt. And they find that when they work a day or two down there, they both feel good, and that seemed to be the move to make. The place has cherries and peaches and 2 acres. The place is 2 acres. There's a little house on the property where another person rents, and they have very good relationship with that person. The place is very well looked after. Jean plans to have. She plans to have a garden, of course, and to do go into flowers, something that the place needs badly. Her 5 years of pottery here are going to certainly bloom into pottery down there. She has all kinds of ideas where she can display and sell her pottery there, and make a new life. And being in their, still in their early 50s, they have another half of their life to put down there and to enjoy. Makes them, well, their two of their children are in Vancouver. Doug and Loretta are both in Vancouver, so they are within easy reach of them. And of course, Patricia and Bruce are up here in Hazleton, and of course there'll be many, many trips back and forth, especially to get fruit and bring fruit, and wonderful to come and visit. Because after all, that's 25 years in 2 Mile. That's like a silver jubilee. So it's a good time to leave, and I'm sure they'll do very well. Thank you. Continuing Jean and Sherman's tape. So anyway, we started with Brandt. You figured that it was about 1972 or something.
Somewhere in there, I think so, yeah.
And that, it was something else. I know that it was very upsetting in the school. And then you say that it's still an open case because...
Yeah, they keep an open case on days like this until there is an evidence.
Any
kind of evidence that shows up.
And I suppose it can be years and years.
Oh yeah, it can be. Gosh. You know, there has been other cases, you know, that the body finally was found or something a few years down the road.
For us.
Yeah.
Maybe buried under some bunch of sand or something. And, yeah, gosh. So anyway, then we talked about all the children and their schooling and their memories. Oh yeah, you were talking about Doug, that he really liked fishing too.
Oh yes, he was, I don't know, 4 or 5 when he caught his first one out here in the creek, so that started him in his fishing career. he was really excited, that little
fellow. So he's caught thousands of fish since.
Yeah, he's caught them here and then in the lakes and rivers and stuff too. They finally grew bigger than explored a little further to go there and do their fishing.
So where would be the farthest?
Oh, well, I don't know. Some of the lakes, then their dad would take them out and they'd go fishing or ice fishing in the winter once in a while, whatever time he had to spend with them on the weekend.
So it would be Doug and
Bruce. And Bruce, yeah. And then afterwards, occasionally, then we'd all go out, take the camper and the pickup and go for the weekend.
Oh, that's nice. Well, they surely did love all that. And the girls, did they have any special kind of hobbies?
The girls took piano lessons for a few years, and they also took figure skating.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
They just took figure skating.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because it started with that Japanese boy, didn't it?
Yeah.
Dan. But he was terrific.
Yeah, he was very good.
And then I guess it's kind of petered out, I guess.
So. I guess so, yeah. This year they sort of, just the women, I think, just sort of taught them a little bit of stuff and that. They had some kind of a group, but I never did go to it.
And so then you yourself were certainly full of gardening.
Oh, yes. I had to grow a big garden for them when they were little.
Canned.
Oh, that's for sure, yeah.
And all your berries and...
Yeah, and I got progressed and I got more berries every year. It seemed different kinds.
Oh, that was great.
Not too many.
Oh, boy. And then of course, you sold for your kids.
Some for myself. And, once in a while, we did a few odds and ends for other people. So they wanted something hemmed or they wanted something fixed. And,
that's great. It's a great thing. It's your money saver. Because you were mentioning something about when the styles would change, you decided to.
Well, that's right. Yeah, I sewed for myself because I couldn't buy anything that I carried in the stores or in the catalog.
And then you finally went into hobbies and into. Well, I guess you always did fancy work, I guess.
Yeah, I did always. I always did fancy work. I mean, when I was at home as a girl. Did fancy work, embroidered tablecloths or futons or something. Did crocheting. Mom taught me all that, but that's good.
Did she?
Yeah, she taught us all.
Oh, five girls?
No, just the two of us. But yeah. She taught both of us all the crocheting, the embroidering, sewing.
Oh, and sewing?
Oh, yes. Mom taught us to do sewing.
Oh, my.
First lesson we sat down was just hem up tea towels to get a straight seam. That was the first lesson once we mastered the straight seam. And we progressed from
in
and took
some. Isn't that great? And then finally you get into pottery.
Yeah, pottery.
Through Carol Gertz, you said.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She was just great. And, so I guess you mentioned that she got lessons or something.
Yeah, we went. She taught through the college here that was held at the high school.
Oh, yeah.
It was held at the high school, but it was through the college. The courses was through the college.
So she gave more than one, I think.
Oh, yes. There was, I don't know, I think about 12 of us or 14 of us enrolled in that class.
My.
Oh, yeah. Marie was in on it, and I was, and quite a few of the girls in that. So that was our sort of basic start.
So then you made all kinds of things for...
Yeah, gifts, and I'd give them away and sold some stuff, and I'm still at it. But you can stand still for about a year now till I get organized and set up again and get everything set up, so...
And that'll be your pocket money now that you're all...
Yeah, it's a little extra money.
Sure.
But it's a hobby. To me, it's a hobby. It's
sure. You'll never have time to get bored.
No, that's for sure. With more winter projects than summer. Mm-hmm. In the wintertime, we none to do outside. No gardening, no yard work.
Sure.
Yeah.
And anyway... Well, then, of course, you were mentioning something about your health problems that you started a long time ago.
Oh, yes. I've had back problems since the time I was a girl.
Just too much lifting and hard?
Too much hard work. I was 10, 11 years old, and I worked hard like a man. I helped, in the barn, so I helped with hay, thrashing time, and everything. Us kids, we worked with our parents, right alongside our parents. And then I did housework on top of it, so it's
just a little too much.
It's too much as you're growing, you're a young kid, and you're growing fast and doing all this heavy lifting. that time there was no bales or combines. It was binders.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
And stooking and the sheaves and pitching them onto the thrashing machine and shoveling grain and the whole works. And I even helped clean barns when I was a kid too. I was the second oldest in the family, so of course by the time the other boy grew up old enough to do this, I had to pitch in there.
So how many were there?
Just a farm. Two of each.
Well. Yeah.
So
then you said it ended up that you had to have an operation.
I ended up with surgery. That's twice now. The first one was about 10 years ago, and the other was about 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah. And they both were?
Both, yeah. They helped out with what the problems were.
You're the same, isn't it? And Dr. Coons did one of them.
Dr. Coons, the first one, and then I went to Vancouver for the second.
And then Sherman, he seemed to have the same kind of, or these troubles.
Well,
too.
Yeah, he's got problems too. Some of it stemmed back from he was a young boy that his spine didn't fully develop.
Oh, I see.
To begin with, and then over the period of years with having injuries in the bush and the hard work
on the farm and stuff.
No, more so in the bush.
Is that right?
After he started bush work, it was progressively
got worse. And then I guess they're just driving the truck
and doing the heavy lifting, the tires and stuff like that. He's hurt it
many, many times.
Yeah, actually, even this spring hurt it real bad too. Mm. So it's really good.
Lifting something.
Yeah, and working on the tires up there at the shop.
So he had one operation quite a few years ago.
Yeah, he had one operation about 14 years ago.
That was also with Dr. Coombs?
No, he had his in Vancouver.
Oh, I see. Okay. But you certainly think a lot of Dr. Coombs.
Oh, yes. I figured that Dr. Coombs was
number one.
I think if he'd have did more x-rays and progressed, like, check Sherman's out, he could have did his operation too.
Oh, yeah.
But at the time they thought that there was something more serious, so they said he couldn't.
Oh, I see.
Dead, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, and so now you said something about Sherman fell on the ice or something.
Right? Yeah, it was during in the wintertime when he was working.
And here, oh yeah.
Yeah, and then they're on the job, and then that's when he
hurt his neck,
and that's when it really progressed, because he didn't get proper doctoring there for a few years, so he finally got to a doctor that helped him.
Because you said it was somewhere that he actually took some time off from work or something.
Oh yeah, he was a year practically down there in the hospital with his surgery.
In Vancouver?
Oh, yes.
Oh, wow.
Because he had to go right back to the rehab center and that, to get his balance and get learn to walk all over again. And, oh yeah, it's a real serious operation.
Oh,
isn't it?
But that was the one in 70s.
In the one in the 70s. On his neck.
Okay,
so because when he got down there, he was darn near paralyzed. He was slowly being paralyzed because nerves were being pinched off in his neck and his vertebrae.
Oh my.
And,
so he was. So it was after that you were decided to maybe that you were going to go to Saskatchewan?
That was fall then. That was when we made the move back to Saskatchewan, that he bought this service station, and him and a friend of his that they run for a year. But he didn't like it. He didn't like dealing with the public. So
I
liked it there because of the climate and that. I felt good out there. Even the kids felt better out there.
Isn't that
yeah.
Okay. So
that's when he came back and started trucking. That's when he started driving trucks. He got a job starting driving trucks. And he drove for a few years and then he bought his own.
So it was after that service station business.
Yeah.
So and then I guess it was, in business for himself then.
Yes, and it was for himself.
So I guess it's years and years. What did he say? 17 years or something of traveling?
I think so, something like that, yeah.
And I know that he mentioned it. This in trucking. Well, of course, he worked for various companies. I guess he worked for Bruce Parker, you say for about a year and a half or something.
Oh, no, I forget how long he drove for him. I can't remember.
And then Stage.
Prestige, I think, about 2 or 3 years. I'm not sure. He drove Prestige's truck. And then then after that, he bought his own. He had three trucks of his own.
So then, of course, it would come the... Well, they would be buying new trucks then, wouldn't they?
Not the first one. The first one was second hand. Then the other two were new.
So then that would be beautiful trucks, but beautiful payments, I guess.
That's for sure. Even the license alone is expensive. I know they'd go up every year. Then every year it got a little higher and a little higher. I don't know. In fact, I think now for 3 months license, I think it's around. I'm not sure, but I think it's around $1,300.
Just for 3 months.
Just for 3 months. Yeah.
My goodness.
So
it's really expensive.
It is expensive, and your tires—they run anywhere from $300, $400, $450 to $100 a piece.
Yeah. Well, never mind our other stuff.
Well, then that's right. Then there's your fuel, your oil.
Well, the license, that's it. That's the license for being able to be on the road.
Right, yeah. Insurance.
And he's never had any accidents.
He had one, it was something to do with the, I don't know, a trailer or something. The reach, I think, he either broke on it or whatever. It was up there on the, just by that 17-mile turn off that rock bluff.
Oh, really?
Rock cut, he...
Spilled
his. Well, he did. Yeah, he sort of spilled it, but he run the front of the truck up the rock cut.
Oh, I see.
But he didn't get hurt. But the truck got
damaged.
It got damaged a bit, yeah. But they fixed it for him. So,
oh, that was lucky.
Yeah, he was.
And he was mentioning that as far as driving was concerned, was actually safer to drive in a bus than on the highway.
Yeah, that's for sure. He didn't, once he got down on the highways to contend with the other traffic, it was pretty serious.
Because that one story that he told about the school bus and everything, that was really something.
Yes,
pretty serious.
That's right.
So, so then, of course, Oliver is where... you are going now.
Right.
And because of the climate, mostly.
Well, yes, and there's nothing really here for us. I mean, we've talked quite a few years ago that whatever, if we sort of half retire, whatever, but, we wanted to go down south where it was drier and warmer, more sunshine.
And you find it really, really helps you.
Oh, yes.
Well, that's a thing to do.
Yeah.
So maybe, do you think Sherman will get organized in this?
Oh, eventually, well, I don't know. He's sometimes having second thoughts, but...
scared still.
Yeah, it's going to be quite a change for him. Well, it will be for me, too, but
yeah.
I still have my gardening, my flower growing, and interests like this, and my hobbies, where he's going to have to find something that's lighter work or pick up part-time work or whatever.
Oh, he probably, once he find out that he can do this and that and the other...
This is what I told him. I said, you know, because he can fix anything. And I says, when they find out you can fix things, I said, I said, you probably won't have enough time to turn around. I said, you get going. So, but we want to do some traveling, too. This is why we bought the trailer.
Oh, sure. Of course.
So we didn't get time this summer, but we want to take about 3 months and
just traveling.
Travel. We want to go back east and look up family, friends.
You have some farther...
Oh, yeah, he's got family in Ontario where his dad came from. Oh, and, of course, then his mother's got family in Nova Scotia.
Oh, my.
So, which we haven't made to.
Oh, that'd be nice.
And he's also got an uncle in New York.
Hmm.
So, and I've never been back east. My oldest brother and my sister live in Ontario, and I've never been there to visit them.
So, but they've been to see you.
Well, we meet in Saskatchewan at Mom's sort of deal, and this is about once every 8 or 10 years or whatever.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I think once was when we put on their 40th wedding anniversary. Loretta was about 3 years old or something, 2 years old. She was the very oldest. I forget what year it was. So that was the first time I'd seen her since we all left home.
Gee.
Then the next time was her dad passed away in 81, and we were all together.
Oh, my.
And then the next time was that last summer when my nephew got married. So that's,
oh, my.
If how far apart it was. My youngest brother, I got to see him more often because he was in Saskatchewan for quite a few years and that, so he was close enough I could visit him as well as with Mom and that. Then he came out for Bruce's wedding.
So then Sherman has all kinds of family here, besides, of course, he has Stuart, which I plan to to get Stuart and Ruby. I plan to get the rest started. And then he has, who else now? You can hear.
Well, his mother lives in
one or another, maybe. And then he has, let's see, of course, he lost the two brothers, didn't he?
Yeah.
That was John and Albert.
John and Albert.
And that was all logging. They were all loggers.
Yeah. Well, Albert had sort of a sawmill. He was more a sawmill than a logger.
Yeah, I remember him.
Oh, yes.
Anyway, then there were how many girls? How many in the family?
There were 14.
14 altogether.
Yeah.
And they were all living.
They were all living.
And the first one to go was John.
Right.
And he already told that he was second. And then Alvin died.
He had burst blood vessel in his head.
Oh,
he had high blood pressure, but he wouldn't doctor with it. He didn't really look after his health real good, and that he didn't go doctoring enough. He'd get severe nosebleeds, and then he went down, and of course they sort of seared it for him, and they weren't quite so severe enough, and they figured that if he'd had a nosebleed that day, he'd been okay.
But then I guess he used to drink a bit too much.
Well, yeah, he did, but he had cut back a lot at that time. But it was hot, and he couldn't take the heat. But he wouldn't go to the doctor. The kids, they tried to get him to go to the doctor when he wasn't feeling good until finally late in the afternoon. But that time, he was in serious condition.
Because Alvin, I see, what were their kids' names?
Alvin's kids?
His wife was what's her name?
Hella.
Hella. And, of course, John is the youngest.
Yeah.
And then there was
Lorraine
was the oldest, was she?
Lorraine was the oldest. And then Mike.
And
Jimmy.
Carl. And John. For goodness sake. And of course, Mike, Jimmy, Carl, and Lorraine are all in Hazleton.
All in Hazleton, yeah.
And then John and his mother, are they still?
Yeah, they're down in around by Abbotsford.
John married, or?
No, he's working. He just graduated here a couple years ago.
Oh, he just graduated.
Yeah.
So then Mike and Jimmy and Carl, they're practically all in logging. Something to do with.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. Jimmy works in the bush. He just runs loader and usually in the bush. And Carl, I think he does falling or whatever.
And they're all married. Well, Mike, I guess he has a little. He's separated.
Yeah, there's separation.
But anyway, there they are.
Yeah.
So that was Alvin. And then, who was the oldest in their family, anyway?
Thelma was the oldest.
Thelma, she's the one in, she's...
Well, the last I know, she was in North Battleford. She'd been there for years.
Oh, yeah, so that's... Mm-hmm. And then down the line, I guess, the ones that are in Hazleton.
Marie is here.
Marie Parker. So that's Marie and Bruce, and I'll try and get their story.
And Anna.
Bill. And Bill.
Regan.
Oh, Regan, yeah, that's right. R-E-A-G-A-N. So, and Bill, he's the accountant.
He's the accountant, yeah.
And that's really how he makes a living here. Mm-hmm. Does Anna work at all?
She does babysitting.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
And who are their kids?
Mavis.
Oh, yeah, Mavis.
And Jerry.
Mark. And then, who else?
Elaine?
Oh, yeah, Elaine. And Jerry, that's J or G?
G.
G, and that's Snyder.
Right.
And, well, he's a trucker, isn't he?
No, he's in working in the bushes. So he's got his own logging.
Oh, his own logging company.
Right, logging company.
Because I know he was so mad at the outfit.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess a lot of them are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so he has his own logging company then.
Mm-hmm.
And so he'd employ all kinds of people.
Yeah, and stuff. Yeah.
And who are their children?
Robert.
Robert.
Gerald.
Jesus. And all boys, yeah. And so they are, I guess...
Robert and Gerald work with their dad, and mm-hmm. Jason, he's still going to school.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's... Mm-hmm. And who else? That's it?
Wallace is around here.
Wallace.
Yeah.
He's the one that two of us are drinking problems.
Yeah.
Oh,
he's the one that was married to Karen Forsyth.
Oh, I see.
And then the one that lost the other one that fell in the bike.
Yeah.
Her mom and dad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so that. And then, of course, the parted. So he's sort of a loner now.
Yeah.
Sort of kind of drifter.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. I guess that's all that's here.
Yeah. So anyway, isn't that amazing that much of that family is here?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And of course the mother's here.
Yeah.
So anyway, if you were to put it in a few words or sentences, what are your best memories of the Hazleton area?
Well,
that you might miss or whatever, or whatever.
I don't know. There's actually been quite a few good memories. When the weather's nice, it is nice, you know, and that. And I don't know. It's been a good place to raise the kids. It's been a rural place, sort of, and that. And this was one thing that they had to. They had chores and different things to do, and it was. It would be a nice place for them to grow up.
With a creek right in their yard.
Well, that, and you know, there was not the hassle of being in the cities and that. And they had their sports and whatever, their recreation. And also, they had a little more of a rural schooling, that, you know, what I had myself, you know, and I found it was a lot nicer for them.
It sure is. I think it's swinging back. I think it's going to swing back.
I hope so, because it's...
And I think that little by little, you know, they're getting to be more, even private schools nowadays.
Yeah,
you know,
that
the schools can get so big.
That's right. And then the only thing is, too, another thing is some of the education they teach them, I don't know what sensory is in it, you know. When I went to school, we just had our basic education and
3 hours.
You know, the 3 hours, and that was it, you know. We had our little bits of music or art on the sideline, but we didn't go overboard with it. And I figured that a lot of this, it's too much emphasis on the niceties and the education and not enough on the 3 hours.
That's right. And then, of course, in those days, it was a lot more attention on the community.
That's right.
Yeah, community.
That's right.
Life.
It was. It was community life.
And then, of course, you just were part of the community.
That's right. And if there was any doings at the school, it was a community thing. The parents and the children were all involved. It wasn't, you know, just the kids going there with
that's
doing
right.
What they want.
The whole sports days. The visa started 10, maybe 11. Can we wait? We'd have to wait. We kept at 9 already.
Yeah, right.
We were waiting for the parents.
Yes. That's right.
But oh, yes, that's fun.
The little school was nice. There was none more involved.
Did you ever get, were you in any of those plays that they had at the school here?
No.
That was Sheila, I think, was involved, and I guess it was a little before that.
Yeah.
What's the name? Cocker?
Yeah.
No. First name, I She was a post lady.
Yeah. So. Before my time.
Oh, I guess so. Yeah.
Well, I was involved with raising money with bake sales and stuff.
Oh, like yeah. That. Yeah, it's really great. So, let's see. Oh, August. You tell me that was 4 years that since he was on the fell in the ice, and now after all this, how do you do with the cat?
Right.
And all this para, you know.
For 4 years, he doctored before he got any relief from it, that he got the surgery on it.
And Dr. Coons did it?
No, Dr. Coons didn't do it. He went to see Dr. Coons, but Dr. Coons only looked at his report and his x-rays. And when he looked at this report, when he took that fall that he was paralyzed, he thought that maybe he had a brain tumor or something. He figured it was a little more serious, so he sent him to Vancouver to a neurologist.
Oh, I see.
And this is why. So when he got down there to the neurologist, they did a brain scan on him, and they did everything before he even got to see the doctor.
Well.
And then when the doctor came in, and he hadn't seen his brain, like he hadn't looked at the brain scan or the x-rays being done down there or anything. But when he came in, he asked him a few questions, and he said he had this little hammer, I guess whatever, little reflex, little hammers and that. He said he tapped him here on the chin. And he says, your problem's in the neck. He knew just like that.
Really?
Yeah. He was a young doctor. He was only probably in his mid-30s.
And just by touching
just by tapping him on the chin with this little hammer, he knew where his problem was. And he said to him, it's a wonder, you're walking, the shape your back and neck is in.
Because I recognize it.
Yeah, right away, because his nerves were being pinched off.
Plus, like, you know, when I got hit on the head of the tree,
yeah.
And the next day, after I went to the hospital, I had to dress him and feed him breakfast. And
yeah.
Back to the hospital, but he couldn't raise his arms.
Oh, I know.
And they said there's nothing wrong with your neck. I got them to x-ray his neck, and they said there wasn't anything wrong, but I had to ask them to do it.
Yeah.
And they still said that he never put out a disc or anything, but still, if I turn his head to the side, like just like that, it starts to black out.
Oh, yeah, because
either
there's
way,
he pressure. Either
way, black out.
Pressure on
and
the
it
nerve.
Still has bothered, like his yeah. neck gets sore and stuff. Still.
And this is so just because, but so fortunately, because he had this accident with the cat.
That's right.
That he got nipped with the thing.
Then he got this bump on the head.
Well, what happened before then? Like, he had problems with his neck before he fell?
Yeah, it wasn't that bad though. It didn't really bother him
but
to that point.
Okay.
But what happened was, like, then the doctor told him down there when he operated on him, and they had to chip bone out in 6 vertebrae in his neck, like to relieve the pressure on the nerves to make more room, and also down his spinal column.
So his nerves are literally dying.
They were being pinched off, and he was slowly being paralyzed. This is why he had poor balance. He couldn't walk straight, and this is why he'd go pins and needles. Any little bump he got on his head, he'd go all pins and needles. So they had to chip bone away from around the spinal column.
Chip bone away.
Chip the bone away and the vertebrae to make room for these nerves so they could move.
Oh my.
And the doctor told him, he said, I'm surprised, he said, that you're not in a wheelchair. He said, the shape you're in.
Not even forced.
And yeah. But also why this happened. His spine did not fully develop when he was growing up as a teenager. He said about the time he turned 16, it quit growing, quit developing, so the spine actually is small for the size of his body.
Oh, for goodness.
And this also didn't help matters, you see.
Because
so
too much
pressure on it.
Oh.
And this is what...
So actually he had to have that accident.
Well, I guess it was sort of fortunate that
to bring it all up to the fore.
Yeah, I guess that he tripped and fell and bumped his head, that it brought it on finally, that he finally got to see a doctor that would do something about it.
And of course, it was Dr. Coons that sent him there.
They sent him to Vancouver.
Because he thought it was something really more serious.
He thought it was more serious than that.
Oh, my.
So
you see somebody
so he spent practically the whole year in the hospital in Vancouver, and between the hospital and the rehabilitation center, because he had to learn to walk all over again. Well, this is what it is. I was home here with the kids alone.
How many days?
The 4 of them.
Well, I think that's when you were subbing a lot.
No, that was before I was subbing. See, Loretta was only about 3 years old or something.
You started to talk, did you?
Yeah, I did up here 2 miles, over at Newtown. Yeah. I did a couple of times over at Southtown, once at Johnfield.
Oh, she must have subbed you for years and years.
Oh, yeah, I did a whole week for you that time when Doug bumped you, rubbed into you on the skate and you broke your wrist. Before Christmas. Yeah, oh, yeah, a lot of stuff up here. Either the grade 1, 2, and 3 or else you're across.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Doug was barreling down and backwards.
Showing off.
And I was, had I been skating normally, it would have been okay. Yeah. But I was hanging on to little Kathy in the course or something, grade 1.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, of course, I was poking along. Yeah. And so, anyway, next thing you know,
you
just went to barrel.
Yeah, and
you
went
lost my balance.
Oh, sounds like Doug. God, was I
sorry. So Doug comes to me and he says, are you all right? Go away!
And then he grumbled and complained because I was there for a whole week. He didn't want to do schoolwork. I said, listen, I said, it was your fault. I said, if you hadn't been showing off and what knocked Mrs. Walker down, broke her wrist, I said, I wouldn't be here. So I said, you're going to suffer it out. I said, you're going to do your work the same as he was here.
Oh, God, that was
a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Oh.